everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Cine Gang. I am Richie Zamar, the pickiest eater, and I am here with Chef Edward and Chef Sharwin. It is season 5, and we are continuing our theme of profiles. And guys, medyo exciting tong episode nato kasi nag-international na tayo.
We're going international, diba? Worldwide.
We're going international, baby.
Yes, sir.
You know us. Uh-huh. Nowhere else to go but international.
Right. No, we've had international guests before, but I am really excited to be doing this podcast with our guest now because I do watch her show on AFC, and I'm really excited to know more about her, especially on a more personal level. Chef Char, tell us about our new guest.
Yes, I'm so excited, guys, to introduce our guest. So, most probably you've seen her in Asian Food Channel and Food Network Asia. She's been with them since 2013, I think. So, that's quite a while. So she's become a staple in Asian households everywhere. But she's not just a TV host. She also writes. She also produces now. And she also does MC work as well. So basically, she's doing everything because she's the queen of everything. Guys, let's please welcome Sarah Benjamin.
All right. Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hello. Wait, just my first question is, I believe they did a rebranding. It's now called the Asian Food Network, right?
That's right.
There you go. So it's the Asian Food Network, guys. It's not the AFC anymore. That it just shows how old we are. It's now the AFN. All right. Take it away, Chef Sharwin.
I think the first question for me is, just reading off your bio, you've been doing a lot of different things that are all related to food. I think recently you even did a few pop-ups in Malaysia, if I'm not mistaken. So my question is, and I love asking these questions because these are the questions that people ask me. So now I get to ask other people. But which among these jobs that are related to food excites you the most? Is it the cooking in the kitchen? Is it doing TV shows? Is it producing shows?
I think I've been very lucky to get to try different aspects of, you know, working in food, working in media. But I love doing the pop-ups. They're a huge challenge, to be honest, cooking for like 40 people in one night. But I think in the end, they really helped me to realize that my favorite part of my job is connecting with people. And I think, truthfully, it's the content, making food videos, telling stories, sharing knowledge, that is what allows me to connect with people. So I think in the end, that's what I will always come back to. You know, whether it's producing, whether it's being in front of the camera, whether it's making my own content, that's all telling a story. And that's what I love doing.
It sounds exactly like my answer. No, I love how food tells a story. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of food you make, it always tells a story. But maybe we can talk about your story. Like, why did you decide to try out? Because as far as I remember, this was a reality show, right? They were looking for a new cooking show host.
Yeah.
And I think you were writing
this was for Food Hero.
Then.
Yes. Wow, Chef Edward, you know everything. I love it.
No, because I tried out. I remember submitting a video. I gave a video. It aired on TV. Never got past that. I would just tell my friends, vote for me. I didn't even know how the voting went. So that was you. It was Food Hero. Okay, that's awesome then.
That's exactly why there was the Food Hero competition. Mm-hmm. It was 2014, actually, the first time that they decided to do this, looking for a new food host. Honestly, at that point, my experience was limited to running a very small time food blog, which I started when I was in college. And then my friend actually shared this competition with me. She heard about it on the radio. I know that makes me sound so old nowadays, like who listens to radio, but you know, back then my friend was like, I heard about this on the radio. I really think you'd be perfect. And I don't know what like came up in my brain. I was like, maybe I should just do it. I had never been in front of a camera before. I had never done anything like that. I decided to just try out. So, you know, we filmed a very amateur, very like not polished video in my parents' kitchen. And I sent it in. And just like you, Chef Edward, it aired on TV. And I was so mortified because I genuinely didn't expect to get through any round. So I didn't even tidy the kitchen. The rice cooker cable was like hanging on the wall. It was pretty at all. And I was like, oh my God, this is airing on TV. But yeah, so I don't know why, but I joined it. I had a feeling that I should just do it or I would regret it. I didn't think anything would come of it, you know? So that was a huge surprise to me.
That's awesome. I mean, me, I didn't even get past that round. I just aired on TV. That's it. I didn't get any other call that, hey, you moved forward in the competition. Nothing. So, you know, but hey, look, I mean, compare my face to Sarah's. Come on, guys. Who's more TV friendly?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but since you said it.
Let's stick to Spotify, Chef Ed.
Let's stick to Spotify. There you go. Face for Spotify. Yeah.
So, you know, if you guys are, if you're feeling a little bit old, Sarah, because you heard the announcement on the radio, I just want you to know that for my cooking reality show, I had to submit my video on Multiply. So if you guys still remember the site, Multiply, that's where we submitted our video. So that's how long
I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to make you feel old, but I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I told you.
I don't know what is it like a kind of VHS?
It was like pre Facebook, right? Like I don't know how best
to.
No,
it wasn't pre Facebook. Okay. Facebook came first. And then,
okay.
There's another one in the US. I forgot.
MySpace.
And then MySpace. Multiply. Multiply was like just for photos, for album making. Yeah. Album and videos. Yeah. I remember that. It was like photo bucket.
Before my time.
Yeah. But Sarah, you know, a lot of us, both chefs and aspiring chefs and even home cooks, We've always, that's the dream sometimes. It's the rock star chef mentality. Like, hey, I want to be on TV. I want to have my own show. I want to do this and that. And that actually contributed to the boom of people going into culinary, taking up lessons, going into culinary school. Do you have any advice for these kids nowadays that, you know, have been wanting to just get into culinary so that they can be seen on TV or even not on TV anymore, your medium of choice, social media, right? I mean, everyone's medium of choice now. Is this still applicable? I mean, shoot your shot. I mean, you know.
I mean, I think if you feel like you have something to say and you have like a unique perspective, which I mean, honestly, anyone does, why not? You can share it. But I think what people don't realize is that it's very hard work. It's not, you know, it's not just like getting your photo taken and, you know, like having fans or whatever to make the videos, to make the content, to put, you know, something meaningful into it. It takes a lot of thought. It takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort. And I don't think people realize just how hard work it is. I mean, you guys, definitely Chef Sharwin, you would know being on set, especially for a shoot, people think it's glamorous. It's not glamorous. It's such hard work. You're on your feet for literally like 12 to 16 hours. You eat the worst takeaway food, ironically, even though you're shooting a food show, because that's what the crew eats. You're sweating buckets. You have to look happy. You have to smile. It's definitely the reality of it is not what people see. And I think if people really want to make a career in this field, they have to realize it is hard work, you know?
So this is a perfect time to segue to Richie, who has production experience. No? What do you think about producing TV shows? This is a question that's good for both Richie and Sarah, I think, like because you guys have worked behind the camera. Like, how much more difficult is it to produce food shows compared to regular shows?
Richie, you go ahead.
Well, what I was thinking about. Was that I was wondering about your concepts. Do you have a say in it or do you pitch it to to AFN now, of AFN, or do they come to you that we have a great idea, we'd like to do Cooking with Love or Must Try Asia, etc., etc.? Did they come to you with that? Because of course there's a big difference from being in a kitchen studio versus of course going out on location. And which do you prefer of the two?
So those two shows, Cooking for Love and Must Try Asia, they were concepts made, you know, created by Asian Food Network, and then mm-hmm. they brought me on as the host. The recipes, the words, they're mine, but the concept mm-hmm. is theirs. Mm-hmm. And then I actually had a digital series that I conceptualized for them called Asian Myths a couple years ago. It was just before COVID. So that was something that we were thinking of, my team and I were thinking of doing on our own. And then I mentioned it to, you know, AFN, and they loved the idea. So we went ahead with that, where we like test old wives' tales in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. For me, I think I love, you know, I love getting out there. I love traveling. I love sharing those experiences. But I think it's hard to choose, but I think for me, maybe I just lean a little bit more towards cooking in a kitchen, because mm-hmm. that's my first love is cooking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I fell in love with this job because I grew up on a diet of Jamie Oliver, Nigella Lawson, you know, all of these kind of like cooking show giants. And to be able to do even something a little bit close to what they do is really quite mind blowing to me.
I'm more on the production side. Mm-hmm. I've been part of like movies and TVCs and television commercials and TV shows. But personally, of course, it is much easier to be in a studio in a controlled environment, because when you're mm-hmm. outside, you know, there are so many different elements that you can't control, especially like the crowd, etc. So yeah, I see, and especially for someone like you, where the kitchen is your second home, so I can really see it as you as being really at peace there.
yeah. But for me personally, I mean, being on travel mm-hmm. shoots, I've gotten to see things that I wouldn't have gotten the chance to experience as a normal tourist. You know, like going into villages, cooking with people from there. Those are mm-hmm. things that you know. I mean, I remember the first time I ever came to Manila, I shot an episode with Chef Tatong.
Yes.
And like we got to go into his kitchen, you know, he showed me how to make 5 types of adobo, and like mm-hmm. I would never have gotten to experience that if I wasn't doing the show. So just selfishly, those are really great experiences that I'll remember.
Mm-hmm. Is there a specific place that you traveled to that has a special place in your heart? And in reverse, mm-hmm. is there a place that you would say that I don't think I would like to visit, or I had my fill of it already?
I don't know. I mean, I've never been anywhere that I was like, I think I'm done with this.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I think I'm the kind of person who likes to spend a long time in a place so I can really immerse myself. Mm-hmm. One place that I actually love and I go back to as much as I can, except for COVID, obviously, is Taiwan. I think Taiwan is an amazing place. It's the food is amazing. The people are really friendly. You know, the landscape is beautiful. I think there's mm-hmm. a lot to discover there.
I have one country. I have one country that I would say, meh. I've been there
oh,
once.
Really?
I've been there once. I've seen it once. Loved it. Enjoyed it. But I wouldn't go back again.
I hope it's not Singapore.
No. I love Singapore. In my previous job, I was in Singapore like twice a week. We opened a couple of restaurants in Singapore. It's still operational now. I can tell you about it later. But this country, I hope I don't get. Is it called excommunicated from a country? No.
Persona non grata.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say the country, because it's okay if I don't go back there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's India. I loved my trip there. I loved it. It was really eat, pray, love. Really. Love mm-hmm. the food, love everything. But it's so physically exhausting to get there from Manila. That's number one. Number two, it's so hot. It's so hot there. You think Manila's hot? It's so hot there. Number three, I say this with a grain of salt. Filipinos are not used to spices, you know, curries and all that. We don't have any spices really. Well, we do. We have black peppercorns. That's it. And turmeric. We would eat there on a daily basis. You'd have to go to the bathroom on a daily basis like 3 times a day. Not because your stomach is ruined or anything because you ate something bad. No, it's just irritated by all the spices.
It's spicy.
So, but it's beautiful, guys. The Taj Mahal, I was like, I'm not going to enjoy it there. When I got there, I was like, wow. Like, India, seen it once. The most colorful country I've ever been to. But I'm good with just one tour there. I'm good. Yeah. So, persona non grata time. I'm not, hopefully they don't.
Well, there goes your chance to do an episode in India, I guess.
Oh, no. You know, if they're going to fly us there, why not? You know, out of my own
pocket.
You can
do it remotely.
Yeah, remotely. They're going to show us the photos. Like, okay, you could have been, you could have gone here. You could have eaten here. Yeah.
You know, speaking of traveling, I bet that when you traveled to all these places, Sarah, you had to cook in some of them on camera. So where would the weirdest or most unique place that you've cooked in, like maybe on top of, you know, beside a waterfall or on top of a mountain?
I wish it was something that scenic. What came to my mind immediately was like, we were shooting in Bangkok one time and it was a restaurant that specialized in pad krai pao, you know, the like minced meat with basil and chili. And we had to shoot a cooking scene, but for some reason we couldn't shoot in their kitchen. So they set up a kind of like an outdoor walk in this back alley where there were motorbikes going up and down. It was really weird. It was very stressful. I remember we were like trying to fry and then the cameraman was there and then motorbike would come by and then we would have to move. So nothing as beautiful as a waterfall or a mountain. Just your regular Southeast Asian back alley.
That would be stressful. I mean, even speaking of production side, like, can you imagine just the sounds of all the bikes? You probably would have to stop at every instance that a bike would pass
luckily, by. Luckily, I think it was a no sound recording.
Ah.
No talking. They just wanted to capture the cooking. So luckily.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sarah, I personally, I would want to go a few steps back in this interview. As much as there was a time when I was really into the Asian Food Network. That's why I really went for Food Hero. But also there's a time when I started living by myself. In the Philippines, there's this cultural, it's a cultural thing. You don't really leave your families. You stay with your parents till you get married.
Same in Singapore.
Oh yeah, I think it's Asian, right? It's more Asian. I joined a Facebook group called Subtle Asian Traits. It's so funny. It's one of the best Facebook groups.
I'm in it.
Anyway, going back. So when I started living by myself, I cable cut. I started living off of without cable TV. So I have no clue anymore who's on TV, who's on AFN, who's on the Food Network. No clue, no idea. So my question going back is, were there people who came after you? Who are they? And do you treat them as competition or friends? And is it a whole big group now where you can make an all-star edition of all your shows now? And the AFN, I mean, I don't know, because I only get to watch Top Chef. I mean, through other legal, I don't know, sketchy gray area means. how is the AFN now?
So for Food Hero, I was in the first batch. Mm-hmm. And then they did two rounds after me. So the winners from the year after me were Ely Sulaiman from Malaysia and Debbie Wong from Hong Kong. And then the year after that, it was a Filipino who won, Anton Amoncho. I'm friends with all of them, especially Ely is a really good friend of mine. Definitely, I don't think of anyone as competition just because I think each of us is super different in cuisine, in personality, in like what we have to offer. So, no. I don't think, you know, that I feel like there's competition. But honestly, I think the whole thing now is that like TV is always fighting with internet content, right?
So that's your competition, not the people in AFN.
Well, I don't think it's actually competition for me, because the past, what, I want to say like 4 years, I've been way more on the internet. I haven't shot anything for TV, like just TV, in 6 years.
Oh, really?
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, even with AFN, the last few years, it's all been digital content. And then on my end, just making content for Instagram and YouTube. So it's a very different job than when I started out 8 years ago, which is interesting. I think it has its pros and cons. I think there are, personally, I get to control my content a lot more. You know, just now you asked me whether they bring me the concept and I sign on. And this way, when I'm making my own content for social media, it's 100% in my control, which as a control freak, I quite like. you know, I enjoy coming up with my own concepts, my own recipes. So yeah, I think I've really started to embrace the power of internet and social media content.
Going back to what you were talking about, I was just with Chef Anton Amoncha a while ago. And I had mentioned to him that you're going to be guesting on our podcast. And I can verify it's nothing but love, because he was fanboying and telling me, oh my God, tell her I said hello. I love her so much. I love her. He just said that you're the sweetest, and he really enjoyed the conversations that you have and the encouragement that you would give him. So he was telling me that you're gonna have a fun time with her. She's a sweetheart.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, we had a really one of the last few trips I did before COVID lockdown was to Manila for the Discovery, you know, the TLC festival. Mm-hmm. So I hung out with Anton then, and yeah, it was really nice. I'm glad I got to come to Manila one more time before we had to stop traveling for 2 years.
I was gonna say that's when we met. But seeing as that was the last time you came to Manila, I don't want people to blame me for you not coming back here. So let's just clarify that it's COVID and not me as the reason why you've not been back. Let's just make that clear.
Was that the event in High Street where it kind of rained that day?
I think. Yeah,
but it was in High Street, right?
BGC,
yeah.
Yeah, I remember. TLC invited me to attend there. Yeah, I think I watched one of the shows. Yeah,
it's always fun. I've been twice to Manila for that event, and I don't know. It's just, I feel like events in the Philippines are different from other countries. Very different from Singapore. Different from Malaysia. Filipinos are so warm and so, you know, excited and like ready to go and very welcoming. It's actually, I think of all the countries, the Philippines is my favorite place to have events like that, because it really feels like a warm welcome. Because sometimes when you do these events, you know, you're on stage and you're cooking and you're like talking about food and people are just like staring at you like, what are you doing? But it's never like that in the Philippines. I feel like people really care and they're really interested. So yeah, I don't know if you can tell, but I miss the Philippines.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I've been hearing also. Like I've been reading from other celebrities. I know Neil Gaiman and you know the guy from History Channel, the aliens guy with the hair, Chukulus.
Oh yeah.
He said he said he did a show here, a live show, where he did like a symposium and he did a talk. And same thing as Neil Gaiman, where he said that he loves the Philippines because you feel like a rock star. You're really given a rock star welcome.
It's true.
No, it's. I think the Filipinos, we know how to take care of the people who make us happy. You know, that's why we give you like people that we know. Either it's, you know, TV personalities, social media personalities. We love giving you a warm welcome, because we know that you guys have to be treated with the utmost respect and care, because it's going to be your first impression of our country. When you go all over the news, the Philippines isn't exactly, you know, hey, number one tourist destination, right? Sometimes, be it due to socioeconomical reasons, political reasons, or whatever. Actually, sometimes for socioeconomical reasons, people love going here because their currency is way better than ours. So they're like, oh, we're balling when we get to the Philippines. But, you know, the weather, it's never cold here. It's only hot or wet. That's it, right? So that's one of the reasons why we want to make you guys feel welcome so that you return. That is our number one. They say that's our number one export. The Filipinos love exporting ourselves. You know, you can see Filipinos all over the world. That is our number one export. Our love and our service. We are number one in the hospitality industry all over the world. And that's a big thing.
But slowly but surely, also the food. Filipino food is like, you know, gaining recognition worldwide. Yes. Which is like, so,
Charwin, Richie, and I, we talk about that all the time, Sarah. We're like, when is it going to take the leap? You know, when is it going to get there? So we pray it happens soon.
So given that what you mentioned, that even you, someone of your caliber, has taken notice of Filipino food, is there a certain Filipino food that you would say that is your favorite, that you love, and anything like that?
Oh, quite a few, actually. Great. I have quite a few favorite dishes. I think my number one is very boring. I feel like it's something a child would say, but I love tortang talong.
Okay.
No, I love it. No, good choice.
Not boring at all.
Very good choice. Yeah.
I think it's genius. I just think it's a genius dish. The first time I had it, I was like, wow, how come no one else has thought of this? You know, like the mixture of the eggplant and the meat and the egg. Oh my God, it's so good. I love Bicol Express.
Oh yes, I
guess because I like spicy. So honestly, I think I had the opposite experience of you, Chef Edward, in India. So when I was in the Philippines,
yeah,
I mean, I enjoy the food, but because I'm used to eating spicy food, right? I'm Singaporean. Yeah. After two or three days, I'm like, I need some chili, man. Like, I really need some chili in my food. So I remember, when I tasted Bicol Express, I was like, yes, this is good. This is spicy.
Nice.
I love, this is also another thing a child would say, but like lumpia. I think Filipino lumpia.
Classic.
It's just the best. And what's the last? Sinigang. Always. Mm. Oh, great.
Perfect. Great. That's why you guessed it on the Sinigang.
Yeah,
and you know, because of that, that would be a good time to wrap up the first part of our interview with the lovely Miss Sarah Benjamin. So guys, we'll say bye for now, but tune in to part two of our interview with Sarah.